Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Cut the Promo Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, none other than Jordan Garber. And I want to kick things off here. I want to discuss one thing that I've had on my mind bothering me as of late. But before we do that, Icon, you're on the show as well. Tell everyone how you're doing.
Well, I'm doing pretty good. You know, it's been a great Sunday. You know, the Vikings won and the Bison won yesterday. Redhawks, however, lost again to St. Paul. You know, they got to win tomorrow to get to the championship. However, I'm doing pretty good. But I must say that, you know, your theme song needs a little work. It's a little lame, but we'll go with it for now.
Oh, absolutely. For sure. And pretty soon we're going to be getting the Facebook Live going, and everything's going to be good to go here. You guys are listening to Cut the Promo Podcast, and I'm just kind of setting up the Facebook Live here right now because I have a few things that I want to get off my chest, and it's not about you. I want to go on about that later, Icon. I have some personal business that I want to deal with you later tonight, but today I want to discuss one man here in professional wrestling that's been running around with a fucking golden spoon up his ass. And that's none other than Mr. Dave Meltzer. Now, the thing is here is I'm a very nice guy. I'm a really laid back guy. Each and every single week, I try to provide the best possible entertainment for each and one of you guys to listen to. However, after proving myself time and time again, especially with Sabu, it is proven that Jordan Garber has made wrestling headlines again, and that he will continue to do that. However, we have Dave Meltzer. Everyone likes Dave Meltzer. Here's the problem
with
Dave Meltzer.
Not everybody.
And not everybody. You're right. Let me go on here. Let me talk about Dave Meltzer right now. Dave Meltzer went out of college with no wrestling experience. He didn't even get in the ring. Dave Meltzer didn't even get in the ring to do anything in this business. Now, you have me, you have a referee, you have someone who's busted his ass tearing up that ring day in and day out. And when I've been in a battle royal because I was man enough to wrestle for a night, when I was man enough to referee and take bumps, did Meltzer do any of that? No, Meltzer hasn't done any of that. Meltzer can't back up his statements because he's shit. I don't like him. You don't deserve to make $1.5 million when I bust my ass at a fucking call center every day and make money, but I deserve to make more. Based on what I've proven, I deserve more, and I want more and more and more each and every week, and that is the bottom line for Jordan Garber. I'm probably one of the best wrestling journalists in the world today, and that is not a fact. That is a statement and a fact. So I want to extend a personal invitation to Dave fucking Meltzer. I dare you to come on my show, and I dare you to debate with me why you're better, and I could be the one in your spot, bitch. Let's go on now.
Let me tell you something
about
Dave Meltzer. No, let me tell you something about Dave Meltzer, okay? There's a couple other podcasts that I listen to besides my own and besides this one. You know, I always like to listen to our show back and Attitude Era Live back, which is on Monday nights from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Central Standard Time. Tune in tomorrow. We got three guests. It's going to be great. I just want to say this real quick. Probably the coolest guest we have on tomorrow night, is Victoria Redstall. She was in the movie Escape Room and Nothing to Lose with Tim Robbins and Martin Lawrence. Okay, she was in that movie. and she used to model lingerie, and she's a fitness model, and she's a world-famous actress. She's going to be on the show with Chandler Hopkins and Devin Moore. Enough of my show. Let's talk about David Meltzer. Now, back to my point. I listened to Eric Bischoff's podcast 83 weeks, and I also listened to Tom Pritchard's podcast, Something to Wrestle With. You know, as you know, we had the co-host of that show, Conrad Thompson, on this show. And
we have.
None of those
guys.
He's
better than Meltzer.
Yeah, none of those guys like Meltzer. Well, I think Conrad's kind of 50-50, but Eric Bischoff does not like the guy. Neither does Tom Pritchard.
He's a fan. He's done nothing to prove his worth. That's the thing. Everyone likes Dave Meltzer. Dave Meltzer is five-star system. I could go on RottenTomatoes.com and create a five-star system. This guy's a fraud. He's a piece of shit. And the thing is that I've proven it. I've sent these press releases, and quite frankly, it's not fair. It's really not fair. We did the Al Snow interview, Icon. That reached the press. I did the Sabu interview. That reached the press. Everything that we've done and we produced, most of everything, has reached the press. Meltzer, I'm a 23-year-old kid. I'm a 23-year-old kid, and I probably did way more than you than I was in your age. I don't know if it's going to be today. I don't know if it's going to be tomorrow or next week or next year or in 10 years. Someone's going to take over you, and hopefully and most likely it's going to be me.
Well, you know, not that I'm bragging here, but I did get you Al Snow, you know, and the whole deal with Sabu.
We have two callers calling in, by the way. Let's get these two callers on. We have a 216 number and a 614.
I do believe, well, one of them is our guest, and one of them is probably the toilet flush guy, but we'll see who's who.
All right, we'll start with 216 here. All right,
614,
you're on
should
Cut
be our
the
guest.
Promo podcast.
I just want to say, Icon, you should be suspended another week. Because Garbo rules, you should be suspended for what you did. And let me tell you something about Dave Meltzer. Dave Meltzer is an asshole. I hate Dave Meltzer. Dave Meltzer has no talent at all. Jordan Garber's got the talent. Dave Meltzer is a piece of shit. Let me tell you something about Dave Meltzer. I met Dave Meltzer at a wrestling show once, and he was an asshole to me. I hate him. I hate him. I hope he drops dead. I can't stand that jackass. Garber is the next two journalists and wrestling. Garber is a man. He's the one that should be getting it. He should be working for WWE. Mel's is a piece of crap. I hate him.
Caller, you're right on, but, you know, when it comes to Garber, you know, I know that you like him and everything. I do too, but, you know, it sounds like you're kind of sucking up a little bit. Maybe you can glue your lips to his ass.
Wow, I can't believe that you said that to me.
This guy's a respected fan who's paid a ticket to see this. He's paid a ticket to watch these shows, and now he's taking the time out of his evening to tune in. What an honor. Thank you, sir, for asking your valuable question.
Okay.
And
thank you, Garber. It's always good to see you, Garber. I love Garber. Garber's a man. Dave Meltzer's an asshole. And Icon, you can kiss my ass and go St. Paul Saints. Suck on that. Garber rules.
Yeah. All right, we got an area code 614 calling in here. Let's bring in.
That's
on
where our guest is. Yep, that's our guest. Yep, 614.
Right on. As long as it's not Dave Meltzer. All right, is this Vito Bossman?
That's me. Hey, Big Vito Bossman, DFC Pro Wrestling.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir.
Speaking to a wrestling journalist who's actually refereed and wrestled before, unlike, you know, some other people. So it's going to be good to ask some questions from someone who's not experienced as much as you have, but it's gone to taste like it, unlike other people.
And Vito, you got the icon here who's king of all wrestling media. So that's me. How you doing, Vito? You and I have been talking on Messenger. I'm glad you were able to join us. We're going to have fun on this interview, and we're going to ask you some questions, and then we'll go from there. But, JG, I just want to have him talk a little bit about his charity and then we'll ask him some wrestling questions. So, Vito, if you want to talk about your charity, then we'll ask you some good wrestling questions.
Basically, you know, it's my hometown, Columbus is, so we're giving half our ticket sales to Latitude 525. Years ago, I did security there, so, you know, I've always seen the place fixing up, and I'm like, well, you know, we can help out here. Things we want to do is security lighting for the residents and fix their fence around the area, because it isn't a bad area, but it is becoming a really nice place. They've got good security there. And we want to help them out. We want to do shows and give her half our ticket price to their shows. I'll make a donation for my company as well.
Now, if our fans listening wanted to help out and donate, do you take private donations too, or just donations from ticket sales?
The facility would. I wouldn't take it myself. The facility, Latitude 525, they would definitely take donations. And like I said, the place is really coming along. It looks so much better than 5 years ago. 5 years ago, you're there, you wouldn't even walk in the door. Now, it looks like a nice lobby, nice fence. You know, things are going on. It still needs some repair, though. The lighting and the fencing in the back is just horrible.
That's awesome, and we do appreciate all that you do for them. So, if we did want to do private donations, like do maybe help out with a GoFundMe or whatnot. Do we just go online and find them, or how can we get more information on them?
Absolutely. They have a Facebook page. It's actually called what the facility is, which is Latitude 525. I've got the address as well, but the page itself is tied into the management, so you could send funds there. They have like a pay me thing because Facebook has it now, so that's great. I'm old, so I'm still catching up with the new technology here. But absolutely. I mean, I don't see any problem with the private donation.
Awesome. That's cool. So, JD, we'll let you kick off things with the guests, and we'll go, I'll ask some tough questions.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, wrestling, this is a sport where you have to have a thick skin, not just mentally, but physically. It's kind of like physical sales in a way. Now, when you trained to be a professional wrestler here, you saw the ring for the first time. I'm not going to ask a basic question, who trained you, because people can go on Google and search that up. But my question for you is, when you walked into the school and you saw the squared circle for the first time, like, what went through your mind then? You know, it looks intimidating. You know, it's a tough sport. You're walking into this for the first time, whole new, brand new world.
Absolutely.
But what was your outlook on things?
Well, my trainer was pretty loud, so it was pretty intimidating, and it was like, well, can I do this? You know, this looks harder than I thought. I did a little bit of grappling back in the day, so fighting wasn't a stranger to me, but this was different. This was actually do a move exactly right. This was be dead on. Do it his way, not my way, his way. So trying to please him so he didn't scream at me was the challenge, and I'm kind of glad he did scream at me because the fear itself made me do it right.
Absolutely. So kind of going after that training and everything, kind of adjusting and getting your first bookings, and was it kind of hard to find some work, or did things just kind of transition along the way, or was it a bit of a process to get your career going?
I was trained by a local promoter to become a promoter. So I took the training so that if I got the ring, I wouldn't be a non-trained professional. I took as much training as I could from several trainers, just so I could match and not be a hypocrite and saying, well, you know, hey, I'm just going to get in the ring and I'm not a trained talent. No, I went out and I seeked training. And I'm seeking more as well. So, I mean, I'm old now, but I still try to learn new things. And I don't want to let the guys down, you know. I want to know what they know and be able to match them in the ring.
Awesome stuff. I can ask a few, and then we'll get into more details as this interview goes along.
Well, Vito, you know, for people that haven't seen you, and I hope you don't get mad at this comparison, but in a way,
not at all.
In your look, you kind of look like the one guy from Repo, Operation Repo, the head guy, Lou. You know what I'm talking about?
I remember Lou. Yeah, I got that. I used to walk past a neighborhood, and people were like, you know, you're not going to repo my car all year. I'm like, what are you talking about? So I used to get that all the time. I thought, you're not the first person that said that. I've got that, I don't know, probably 100 times. And so I don't take offense. Lou's a good-looking guy.
Well, you know, what you could have done was say, yeah, I am, but if you pay me $200, I'll leave your car there.
That might be a little criminal.
Okay, but yeah, well, anyway, so I'm kind of curious, with your look and your, I mean, you are a big guy. First, can you tell us what your stats are, height, weight, everything?
Yeah, 6'4", 6'4", 320 pounds. Used to be way more athletic, but gained a little weight now. But yeah, pretty big. I mean, there's guys way bigger than me in this business, of course, but always good stature.
Well, the thing is, I mean, you have good stature, but they don't look as good as you.
Oh, hey, thanks.
I'm
don't
not
get that
on
much
you,
off
don't
of.
Get me wrong. But,
oh, that's too bad, you know, baby.
So with your name, you had to have been influenced by Ray Traylor. The big boss man, right?
Right. Yeah, that was always my favorite. Also, the veto came from my uncle. He was an MMA fighter. And, you know, I'm not going to be able to reach that as well as he did. But, you know, it was an inspiration seeing him fight in these independent rings and cages and things like that he did was very – it's what made me want to do anything at all.
And with your tenure in the business, have you – had a chance to go after any titles? Have you won any titles, or you have any title shots coming up?
Yes, we held the tag team title for about 3 years, and finally Commissioner made it vacant after 3 years because we didn't defend it, we didn't do anything, so it just became vacant, and that's what she saw best for this show. So we may go after it again. We may be the DFC tag team champions as well again.
And when is your next match coming up that you can talk about?
September 29th. We'll be, of course, doing it at Latitude 525. And there will be a tag team tournament in the beginning of the show.
And can people get tickets if they want to get tickets? Where is it?
Absolutely.
Is it?
We still have some available, yes. About $12
How
or $12. But remember, half of it's going to charity.
All right. And what is the venue?
The Latitude 525 apartment complex has a huge basketball court gym that they let us use. We've done shows there since 2012.
Awesome. JT, what do you got?
Sorry, just on mute. I was just on mute there. I just interact on the live stream as the questions are being asked. But no, so far here, kind of looking at the business right now, from an 80s standpoint here. Now, most people say that if I was in the business in the 80s, I wouldn't survive. Most people wouldn't. Kind of looking at that, do you wish the business was more old school, or do you like the new adjustment?
Well, you know, I own a DFC fight store that sells 80s action figures. And I got to tell you, the kids, even the young kids, 6-year-old, go in there and ask for Ultimate Warrior, Hulk Hogan, things like that. I don't sell a lot of the new stuff because they just don't ask for it. I think it had a formula. I think it worked.
I think so, too. I missed the territory areas. You know, you had Memphis Wrestling, you had Portland, even Vancouver, all these places. Like, there's a hotbed for professional wrestling, and there still is. But it's just not the same as it
Absolutely.
Used to be. Like, I kind of wish the territories would come back because I can watch Memphis Wrestling for hours. I'm one of those guys that can put on Memphis Wrestling and I can study it religiously and keep watching and watching and watching for 10 hours. I kind of miss that kind of old school wrestling. Not just that, matches were shorter, not as long. Like, some matches you have here are 20, 30 minutes long and there's like so many spots. There's like 20 or 30 spots and it's like it's more, less is more. If you just do 2 or 4 spots at the most, then, like, it kind of makes it easier and less pressure. The more, like, when I interviewed Sabu on Saturday, he kind of told me that things kind of go to shit when they're scripted and everything's planned. When it's not planned, it kind of works out in the long run. Would you agree with that?
I do. And I want to add that, I don't know if you noticed, but the makeup and the mask are definitely coming back. So it may be going back to old school.
Exactly. I really hope so, because old school was a golden era for wrestling. And if that's back again, you know, wrestling is at a better state overall here.
Absolutely.
All right, Icon, back to you. You can ask a few, sir.
Well, you know, in the state of wrestling today, I mean, you know, we've had the Legends era. We've had the New Generation. We've had the Attitude era. We had the PG era. We had the, I call it right now, they have the Ruthless Aggression era, and now they have the What the Are They Doing era. With that all being said, you know, the business seems to transition from one thing to the next. And it's not always a good transition, but being an independent wrestler, I'll kind of put this question to you. Being an independent wrestler, you know, you kind of do what you want. You can go to wrestle wherever you want. You control all aspects of your life. You know, like the WWE, they say you go here, you go there, you do this, you can't do this, you say this, you can't say this, this, that, and the other. Let me ask you this. If a WWE agent were in the audience and they saw you, and they contact you, talked to you backstage, and they said, hey, you know what, you should come try out, and you should be with the WWE. Two-part question. One, is that something that you want to do? And two, if you do get there,
obviously,
would you not big-time us and still be our friend and still talk to us?
Absolutely, if I made it like that, yeah. I don't think I'm looking so much to make it as I would my fellow wrestlers. I've actually had one that went to WWE.
And you mentioned,
you know, and yeah, I think he would still talk to you. I think he, you know, Big Jake Sal.
Can you mention who it is? Can you tell us who it is?
What?
Or not?
Big Jake Sal. Yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
Okay.
Big Jake Sal.
That's awesome.
He made it. He wrestled at one of my shows. Let's see, that was 2012. And shortly after, you know, I heard he went to WWE, and I wouldn't see why he wouldn't still be everyone's friend.
And with that being said, and you see that a guy that went through your school makes it to WWE, and, you know, you hear about that, you're like, wow, I helped jumpstart the, or do you not have that kind of feeling? You're just like, well, that's cool, and then just move on.
I feel I was, you know, a part of it. I mean, you know, we did put him on a main event of a show. It was at the New Nest, so it was quite a big show. It was another charity event, but it was pretty massive. So I kind of feel like, hey, you know, we all were kind of a part of that.
That is cool. I like that. That is awesome.
It's not every day you hear something like that, so it's fascinating.
JG, what do you got? Then come back to me. Then I got some real hard hitting questions.
All right. Yeah. What's a part of a match that you kind of go through where, you know, what's something that, what's a pet peeve of yours when you're in a match? You know, whether it's a referee spot or a worker spot. What's the most common mistake made in a match during a spot that's a pet peeve of yours?
Well, I think for the ref part, it's definitely sometimes you got to make sure you get one well trained. That's for sure. The ref controls the match. The better the ref is, the better the match is. Definitely. But I guess a pet peeve would be though if you give me a good hit, I get a return.
I think the referee job is so important because I'm being a referee here. I've been a referee for 2 years. That's what I'm talking about. I've refereed, I've taken bumps, I've been doing the journalism. Being a referee, my biggest thing is, and this happened actually on social media the other day. I don't know if most of you guys recall, but there's this referee who did his job. You know, the referee's job is to count to three. If the wrestler doesn't kick out, that's the wrestler's fault. What happened was this guy counted the three, just did his job, went to work, did his job, got his pay cut, payout, whatever He worked the show. He's a referee doing his job. And after the match, after he does his job, these two punks just shoot on him and do moves to actually hurt the referee. I don't know if you heard about that, but if you did, what are your thoughts on that as a veteran?
Like I said, you know, the ref's got to be well-trained. He's got to get his spots just as well. I've got video where we have untrained refs that didn't do good at all and well-trained refs that made the match fascinating. So,
absolutely.
I agree with you.
So I guess the statement is right. When you're a referee, your job is to count to three no matter what circumstance.
That's your house. That's, you got to control your house.
All right. I will take that into consideration as I will be refereeing PCW and then three Northern shots for Tony Candelo. That's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm always looking to learn as a journalist, as a referee as well, and as an aspiring wrestler for next year, hopefully. Or not next year, but down the line. I need to get bigger first. But kind of my thought, that was my question about the whole referee thing. Very controversial topic. So I'll kind of leave that question at that. I'll let Icon ask a few more, and then we'll continue. Icon, back to you.
Well, Vito, I'm curious. You know, every wrestler has a awesome finishing maneuver. Now, I'd like you to tell us what yours is, what it's called, what's involved, and we'll see if one of either JG or myself will volunteer to have you test it on us.
Okay. Might get picked on here, but Big Boss Man Slam.
Oh, okay. Well, I know that one. I don't think I'll let you practice that on me, but JG might be game on that one.
Well, I took a body slam there from Jacob Creed, and I'll tell you this. Body slam, very simple maneuver, but yet very, very effective. It definitely got me on the ground there in that time. I only took a body slam once, and then later in that night, I decided to go in the ring and stun Kevin Cannon and Jacob Creed. But that was the only day I took a body slam. And I'll tell you, it stings, that's for sure, especially in a stiff ring. So it depends on the ring, too. Like, I noticed that, too, is if you're taking bumps in a ring, some rings are nice and, like, doesn't hurt. Some other rings are just so stiff, it's crazy. Just boards and that's it. So it's kind of a... really cool, just even working different rings and even setting them up, because every ring's different. It's such an interesting industry, because everything's different about it and everybody.
Absolutely.
And, you know, growing up in the, you know, before you got into business, who were some of your heroes? Who were the ones that you looked up to that inspired you to want to get into the business? And of all the, if any, what would you say was probably the coolest legend that you've had a chance to interact with and meet?
Well, I think Road Warriors, because their look was just, this is what you want to look like. You went to school like that, nobody would have messed with you, right? Big Boss Man, Hogan, Andre the Giant. I mean, I would have loved to saw him in real life. Unfortunately, I didn't get to. And the coolest legend I ever hung out with, I got to say, would be Bobby Fulton. He hung out with me for 3 hours at a greet and meet, and he told me all his stories and things that he went through, and it was very, very passionate. I was hoping he'd be on tonight.
Well, I think he's a little under the weather. That's why he couldn't join us.
Oh. Well, prayers to him.
Yeah. Well, I've had Bobby Fulton on my show. And, you know, I only have a 2-hour show, but with him, we could have filled 5 hours with all his stories.
Oh, yeah.
And we didn't even get to half of them.
I heard you talking about Al Snow, too. I worked with Al Snow 3 shows. He is full of knowledge.
You know, it's funny you mention Al Snow. I mean, Al Snow is a great guy. You know, and, I did book him on the show here. Unfortunately, I was on vacation, so I wasn't able to be here for that interview. But one thing about Al Snow that I find really funny, I wanted to ask him. I mean, Mick Foley likes to give this guy ribs, like, left and right. And, you know, I even asked Mick Foley point blank when I saw him. I said, so can you tell me something about Al Snow? He said, well, why would I want to mention Al Snow? He doesn't really have any knowledge for the business, which is a complete polar opposite than the truth, because he does.
I don't say.
I think he was being sarcastic, probably.
I think he was, too. That sounds right.
Yeah, that's silly. That's a silly. Yeah, he knows more than literally 10 guys combined. That's a guy that,
yeah, watch him at Old Toughenough. My God.
I would pay $200 to go to an Al Snow seminar and learn. I would be willing to pay that much because I know I'm learning from the best and my money's going to be worth working with the best. So that's one thing, too, that a lot of wrestlers do nowadays need to take advantage of. Is like go to these seminars. I'm not a fully trained wrestler. I'm not. I'm a ref. I'm a referee, and I'm an announcer. But I'm still going to a Mike Quackenbush seminar. I'm still going to these seminars because these guys with a wealth of knowledge, people don't understand how valuable this is. Like you have somebody who's done it all, reached the pinnacle of success, and now they're giving that knowledge. They've learned all the way back to you. You wouldn't learn that in the 80s. That's a privilege to learn that much in a short amount of time. So. People need to take advantage of seminars, too. Get out there, you know?
Yeah, I see them more and more. I mean, I've seen them everywhere. I saw three legends at the toy show today. So they were talking about things.
You know, I'm kind of curious what your opinion is on kayfabe and breaking kayfabe and there not being any kayfabe anymore.
Yeah, it is hard. I wish it never broke, but hey, you know, it's the internet, it's information available, it's information highway. It's common sense, you know.
Yeah, Dave Meltzer, yeah.
Did Dave Meltzer ruin pro wrestling? That's my next question.
I've always heard of Mark.
Just a Mark, yeah. But the thing is, and this is what I was explaining about in the beginning of the show. Meltzer, he's reporting on something. He says he's an expert on something, but he's never gone in there and did it. Like, I know I'm a journalist, too, and I post on the dirt sheets and all that. But, like, I got a taste of it. I was man enough to step in there and take a bump or learn some things along the way and referee and train the referee and get in there, and I'm still announcing. So I'm not an expert by any means, but I kind of feel that I can back up my opinions a little bit because I've gone in there and I at least tried it, you know, like he hasn't even tried it, and that's one thing that ticks me off the most a little bit.
Agree.
But that's the way it is.
Well, as an independent wrestler, there's writers that cover independent wrestling. There's guys like Meltzer that cover pro wrestling. Let me ask you this. Let me put this in, and I'll understand if you don't want to answer the question. But I'm going to put it to you anyway. Let's say that, you go out there and you wrestle a hell of a match. It's probably one of the best performances that you yourself and whoever you're wrestling with put on a show, because when you're out there, you're storytelling. You're telling a story. Now, let's say that there's a wrestling beat writer that completely poo-poos your match and gives it, like, a star or a negative 2 stars, but you guys put on a hell of a match. What do you do? What is your opinion on stuff like that when you have someone that does something like that?
Well, the biggest problem is when somebody writes something like that, you may read it and I may read it. We both interpret it differently. I may see it as negative, and if you're my opponent, you may see it as positive. I'm hoping that you can throw a positive swing to me so I can get what you're seeing, but it does happen, and I wish it wouldn't. I mean, I don't like it, but you're hired to do a job, and you do it.
Now, if he bought a ticket as a fan and he paid for the ticket out of his $1 million salary, I'm sure that, he could have even a little bit more of a say because he rightfully bought his ticket. He could say what he wants if he bought a ticket, but he didn't even buy a ticket either. So it's like we're running into, like, something that's just – it's a burden on wrestling, man. I really think the guy's a burden on wrestling. I'm not trying to be hated – hate Dave Meltzer Day, but I just kind of want to interact with veterans of the business who stepped in there and made this their blood, sweat, and tears, especially you as a promoter. You know how much money you have to invest being a promoter, especially if a show doesn't go well? It's extremely difficult. it's hard. It is. And the thing is that that's the thing. It's like, I don't like it when people bash others for something they've never tried. That's just the bottom line here. We'll end the Meltzer crap now because it's not really worth our energy to talk about because we get the point. But going on, transitioning from the whole Meltzer thing, getting me riled up. Icon, ask a few more questions here, and then I'll
get you and him in a match.
Me and Meltzer in a match. People would pay to see that, probably.
Well,
people
would
pay to see
it. We've already talked about enough.
I'll tell you what, if we can get a match with him, I'd tag with you. We do a handicap match with him, but that's a story for another thing. Yeah, we got Vito Bossman here. We got about 5 minutes here before we wrap it up. As a promoter, you know, you're putting up your own funding. You're putting up your own money. You're putting up your own ring. You're getting the sponsorship. You're getting the wrestlers. As a promoter, and I'll understand if you don't want to answer this either, but as a promoter, what would you say is the average cost to putting on a show? Do you look at how many tickets you have to sell to make it work, or do you just like, well, the ticket sales weren't good, but I still made a little bit of a profit? Could you go into that a little bit? Explain that if you could or not.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, straight off the market, you're looking at $380 for event entrance. And if you don't have it, you shouldn't be running, okay? Let's put that out there. What you need to do is get enough sponsors where you cover your cost. That way you're covering, you know, your wrestlers' fees, everything costs is covered by a sponsor. That way all your ticket sales are profit. And then you get your taxes. If you don't pay the taxes, eventually they'll catch up with you. They'll take every old flyer you have and come after you. 20 years. Seen it done.
Well, yeah, and we know that the IRS, when they come knocking at your door, they
pay
want
your
their money.
And you got all your old flyers online, so they'll count it up real fast.
Yes, they will. That's awesome.
So, yeah, that's kind of cool.
So we have about 7 minutes left on the program here. Now, people that were listening to the live episode, you can listen to this. This is exclusive footage that you can listen to from the download. We're going to be expanding the 2 hours here in 2 weeks. So we're going to have another big show coming up, which is great. You guys are listening to Cut the Promo Podcast with Vito. And it's just great to, you know, learn perspectives and share our opinions of professional wrestling. You know, it's just a magical sport. It's a magical craft. It's more magical than baseball. Baseball is pretty magical. So that's kind of the way I look at it. Scott, thanks for tuning in. So it's really interesting here to kind of look at the business. Now, my last question for you is, look at the business 5 years from now. Based on everything you're looking at now, what's the business going to be like in 5 years? Do you have any idea?
I think there's going to be a lot more competition. You got a lot of new feds coming on TV and things like that, where it's not just going to be WWE anymore. It's, you know, and independent, it's going to be twice the competition because people are going to watch the new stuff and be like, well, I could do that. So they start their own fed as well.
They say they can do that, and then they go in the match, and
they get
busted open, and then they cry, and then that's it for them. So some of them.
Right.
But that is interesting. Icon, back to you, sir.
All right, real quick here. I know we only got a few minutes left here, but real quick to kind of help you out again, Big Vito, if our fans wanted to check you out and find you out, you got a Facebook, you got a YouTube, you got a Twitter, you got a Twitch, you got a GoFundMe, you got an Instagram, a Twitter, what do you got?
Well, right now we just got the Facebook. Like I said, we're just really coming back on some things. But it's Vito Bossman. I will be doing a page and things like that later on. I just been a little busy with opening my store that I opened, not the DSC Fight Store. We'll mostly be running at Latitude 525. And we're looking at doing a show at Ohio Dominican University as well down the road.
And did you like that collector's card that the Icon made for you?
I did. I actually put it on my Facebook. It was nice to see. Thank you.
Awesome. You are welcome. You can use that for anything, just as long as anybody asks you who made it. You say your egotistical buddy from Fargo, North Dakota, the Icon made it.
I already did that.
Awesome.
Awesome stuff. Well, that is our interview here with Vito Bossman. Vito, thanks for taking the time out of your busy Sunday night to share your thoughts and opinions and your views on the business. You know, talking to any wrestler makes me learn more. And at the end of the day, I just want to learn more. I'm going to be 85 years old, and I am still not going to know everything about wrestling. It's like a long-lasting college course that lasts forever. It's so cool. And thanks for contributing to me being a fan, for me being a journalist, referee, whatever you want to call it. Thanks for helping me increase my passion of that, and I hope to talk to you soon, sir.
Thank you. See you in a room.
Thanks, Vito.
All right. Thank you again, Vito, for being on the show tonight. That was none other than Vito Bossman. We have about 3 minutes left on the program, and that makes me transition to you, Icon. What do you think you're doing, sir?
Well, I think what I'm doing is bringing some talent and class and good guests to your show is what I think I'm doing.
And that's what you think you're doing. But you're on a show where each and every week we strive to make headlines and headlines and headlines. And I need you to be on the ball. That's why I suspended you last week. Because I needed to give you a week to think about your actions. But that's okay. You did a little better today, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that. But I want you to still explain yourself, Icon, for some of the misfalls of this program.
Well, you know, it goes like this. I do what I do to help enhance what we're doing. I mean, I'm not saying that everything I do is correct, but I am saying that the stuff I do enhances things. If you look at our show on Monday nights, as a matter of fact, every Monday night, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Central Standard Time, tune in, Attitude Era Live, check us out, Off the Ropes on Facebook. The thing is, before I got to that show, it was minuscule. It was dying. I started getting guests. I started getting superstars. I started getting authors, actors, actresses, superstars, WWE legends. They never had that before I got there. I mean, you cannot deny the fact that I did get you, Al Snow. And I do have other good guests coming for you. And I'm going to keep doing that. As long as it pays off in the long run. But if it doesn't, I'll quit.
You're going to threaten to quit my program, the program that I built from the ground up, a program that I built when I Wrestling World 247. Let's go back, man. Let's go back to when I was 15 years old and my dad took me to my first show in Selkirk and I said, I want to do this. I love this business. And I did that each and every week because I have the most heart and dedication and soul than any wrestling journalist around. And that's something you have to agree with. I'm one of the best.
Well, I don't deny that. You you do what you do, and I do what I do. But I will say this, though. And I don't have a guy calling my show on flushing the toilet. Let me just say that.
That's comedy. That's comedy.
It is what it is, but it makes you wonder how someone could take time to do that out of their, you know, they just stay on hold to tell you to flush the toilet. I just don't get that. And that still ticks me off. It really does.
Because any press is good press. And when it comes to Jordan Garber, I've had the hottest year so far, because I've reached the press. All I'm asking you to do is be on the ball.
Well, I'll tell you what, I will humble myself, and I will definitely work on doing